Welcome to the Growing with Nature podcast. I'm your host, Darren Williams, permaculture enthusiast, restoration ecologist, and founder of Growing with Nature. Too often, we hear that the best thing we can do for nature is to leave it alone. But people are a part of nature, and you can make the living world around you come alive with abundance for people, plants, and wildlife, even in your own backyard. Join me on a journey through regenerative soil building, permaculture, restoration ecology, and more. To learn concrete steps you can take at home to support wildlife, grow incredible, delicious food, and help heal our living world right in your own backyard. Ready to get started? Grab a shovel, roll up your sleeves, and let's make the living world around you come alive. In this episode, we're going to look at how to get started with live staking, including a list of specific Northwest native plants that can be live staked successfully. Live staking is one of the easiest ways to get a ton of new plants, but not all plants can be live staked. And there are some tricks to doing it successfully. Let's get started with live staking. Live staking is a bit strange when you think about it. You're taking a woody cutting from a tree or shrub, basically a stick, and sticking it down in the ground. And almost magically, that stick will grow roots, stems, leaves, and become a brand new plant. Though it will be a clone of the parent. This is one of the downsides to live staking. If you get all your live stakes from a small number of plants, you won't have a very diverse mix of new plants. But live staking is still a great way to quickly and cheaply get new plants, especially if you're working in wet areas like wetlands and along rivers and streams. At its most basic, live staking is just taking hardwood or woody cuttings from woody plants like trees and shrubs and then sticking them in the ground. But there is a bit more to that, and there are some tricks that will help you be more successful. So let's look at what it takes to get started with live staking. And if you like what you hear today, then please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen. Your review will help more people find us, people like you who want to bring these skills home to enjoy wildlife, grow more food, and help heal our living world. Okay, let's get started. I really love live staking, and I use this technique whenever I can. I've been slowly establishing a hedgerow along a busy road just by sticking in live stakes each year. As more and more of them get established, the hedgerow gets thicker and provides a better barrier along the road. And in our wetland area, we've got a bunch of willows and some cottonwoods that are growing great, all of which started as sticks pushed into the ground. But not all plants can be grown from live stakes. Generally, wetland plants are your best option, but that isn't always true. Here in Western Washington, I've been live staking our native Nooka Rose and Snowberries with some success. Snowberries tend to take a bit better than Nooka Roses, but both can be grown from live stakes. Though they're slow to get established, they won't really grow until their second year. At least not above ground, but below ground, they will be growing roots and getting ready to take off. Willows and cottonwoods are some of the easiest plants to grow from live stakes. But some other plants that can be grown from live stakes are elderberries, black twinberries, Pacific ninebark, red osier dogwood, red flowering currant, and Douglas spirea. You really just need to try taking cuttings from different plants and see what happens. Some, like Nooka Rose, will only have about a 30% survival rate, but others, like willows, can be upwards of 75 to 90%, depending on the site. But even with plants like Nooka Rose, where only a small number of your live stakes will make it, you can still get a bunch of free plants without much effort. I can quickly harvest dozens of Nooka Rose cuttings for live staking from my established plants. Even if 70% of them don't make it, I can still get a lot of roses. In the show notes, I've made a list of plants that I've had luck live staking. I've already mentioned them in this episode, but the show notes have them as a nice list with their scientific names, so make sure to check that out. And just give it a try. See what plants live stake and which don't. And make sure you keep listening, because now I'm going to share some tips on how to get started with live staking. There are a couple of main steps for getting started with live staking. The first is to harvest your live stakes when the plants are dormant. Fall or winter is generally when you will want to collect live stakes. This is also the best time to plant your new live stakes. You will need to keep your live stakes moist until they're ready to plant. If they dry out, they won't grow. I like to collect a bunch at once and then put them in bundles for storage until I'm ready to plant them. These bundles can be partially buried in wood chips to keep them moist, but still, try to get them planted within a week of being harvested. It's also best to generally harvest first or second year growth that is woody, but not too tough. Older wood can work, but you get the best results from younger growth. And you will want to get cuttings that are at least as thick as your fingers, up to a few inches across. Cuttings that are at least 3 feet long make the best live stakes, but you can make do with 2 foot long live stakes. If you go shorter than that, you're not likely to have much luck. Though some plants like Douglas Barrea, snowberries, and Nuka roses won't have large stems or branches for you to harvest. For these plants, just take nice, healthy-looking growth that is straight as possible. You will want them to be 2 to 3 feet long if possible, though sometimes 1 foot long cuttings of these plants is the best you're going to be able to do. When harvesting your live stakes, make sure to keep them orientated the same way that they grew. You will want to put the bottom of the live stake in the ground with the top part sticking out. This way, the buds will all face the right way, and while they can sometimes grow from an upside down position, you will have more success planting them upright. An easy way to keep track of this is to make a straight cut on the top so you have a flat edge, and then cut the bottom at a slant so you have a pointed end. This will also make it easier to plant the live stakes. If you have long cuttings that are over 3 feet, you can cut them in half to get 2 live stakes. Just make sure to keep them orientated correctly, and try to keep both live stakes to at least 2 feet in length. You will also want to cut off any side branches so your new live stakes won't have to support that extra growth until they're ready. To improve your success rate for live staking with species like Nuka roses or snowberries, you can soak them in a bucket with willow cuttings. You can include willow leaves in the mix. Willows naturally produce a hormone that triggers rooting. By soaking your non-willow live stakes with willow cuttings, you can help trigger them to start rooting. I would keep your live stakes soaking with the willow cuttings overnight before planting them if you want to use this option. Once you've harvested your live stakes, then you're ready to plant them. To do this, you will want a rubber or wooden mallet, gloves, and possibly a 2 to 3 foot piece of rebar, and something to carry your live stakes into. There are 2 main ways to plant live stakes. The first is to just push them in the ground with your hands and use your body weight to help. If the ground is soft enough, this can work, though you risk bending or breaking the live stakes. But it does make the job go quickly in soft ground. The second option is to use a mallet to pound in the live stakes. But this only works if your live stakes are thick enough. This likely won't be an option with Nuka roses, snowberries, or Douglas Barrea live stakes, or any other small live stakes. And even large live stakes can crack when being pounded by a mallet. And don't forget to put the pointy end in the ground first with the flat cut at the top. Regardless of which method you use, sometimes you will need to use a piece of rebar to get the hole started. The only downside to this is sometimes you end up with air gaps between the live stakes and the sides of the hole. If this happens, tamp down the ground around the live stake to help seal it all up. But if your ground's hard, this can definitely help. You will want to get the live stakes down into the ground far enough so at least half of it is buried. And it's better to get about 2/3 of the live stakes planted, with just a couple of buds remaining above ground. Always keep at least 2 buds above ground. And be careful when planting so you don't damage any of the small buds on the live stakes. Once the live stakes are all planted, you just have to wait. Often the above ground growth will be small during the first year, but if they survive, they will often take off and grow quickly in the following years. You can help your live stakes out by keeping them well mulched and protected from browse from deer and other animals. And the earlier in the fall or winter you can get them planted, the better. This will give them more time to get their roots established before the summer heat. Live staking really is a great way to quickly get a bunch of new plants started. And it's also a great way to get new native plants for your property. You can easily go to areas with native plants like willows and just take a couple of cuttings from those plants for live staking. Don't take more than a couple of cuttings from any one plant, and make sure you have permission to do this. This way, the parent plant will quickly recover, and you can get a new native plant for your property. I've gotten a lot of live stakes this way. Often I grab cuttings from roadside ditches that are part of the county right-of-way. These plants tend to be mowed down regularly, so taking a few cuttings won't cause any harm. The same can be done along trails if the plant is growing out into the trail. You can do the same on your property if you already have plants established. My Nuka Rose live stakes are from plants that I bought as bare roots and planted a few years ago. Now that they're established, I can get live stakes from them without hurting them, and often they're growing out into our driveway and other places, so I just prune them back and live stake them in other areas. But you do want to be careful to get your live stakes from several individual plants. This reduces the impact on each plant and makes sure your new plants are still diverse. Live staking clones the parent plant, so if you only took cuttings from one plant, all your new plants would be clones of each other. This wouldn't be sustainable since they likely couldn't reproduce, and they could all be prone to the same diseases or pests. So always try to get your live stakes from a wide range of parent plants. Now you just gotta go out and start live staking. Just follow the steps and tips we covered in this episode, and make sure to keep track of which plants successfully live stake and which don't. This way, you can build your own list of plants that live stake successfully where you live. Please feel free to share plants you've live staked successfully in the comments section of the show notes so others can learn from your example. And stay tuned for our next episode, where we will cover some tips on how to successfully salvage native plants for your property. Salvaging native plants from development sites, along trails, and other areas is a great way to get free native plants. But you've got to know how to do it so you don't cause damage. Make sure to check out the next episode to learn more about how to salvage native plants. And don't forget to check out the show notes for more links and resources related to today's episode. All right, I hope you enjoyed that episode, and thank you for listening to the Growing with Nature podcast. This podcast is made possible thanks to our patrons over on patreon.com. Thank you, patrons, for supporting our work. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen. Your review will help more people find us, people like you who want to bring these skills home to support wildlife, grow food, and help heal our living world. Well, that's all for now. See you next week, same time, same place. Have a great week, and keep on growing.